Morning Air continues now on Relevant Radio with a look at Sunday's Gospel in the 8th chapter of Mark this week. We have with us once again Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle for a look at every Sunday's Gospel reading. Great to have you along, Bishop Muggenberg.
Good to be here, Glenn, and we have a great reading for this Sunday. It's the Confession of Peter, professing who Jesus is, and a very interesting exchange that happens as a result of that profession of Jesus' identity as the Messiah.
That's right. In the first half of the reading, it appears to be one of Peter's shining moments, and then we know that he has several that aren't so bright and shiny as well, and that would include later in the reading as well. But it appears at first like Jesus is kind of checking out the disciples to see if they're following along with what he's trying to teach them.
Well, he is. You know, on the one hand, it starts off by just asking a question about public opinion. You know, what are people saying about me? Jesus is checking with his disciples, you know, just to kind of find out and get a pulse for the world around him. But then he changes it and he makes it a deeply personal question to them. Because it's one thing for us to just rattle off what other people have told us, especially what other people have told us about Jesus. But when we have to confess our own personal experience, our own personal commitment to the Lord, that's when faith becomes real. And that's when it's not just a matter of what other people are saying, but it's a matter of what we ourselves are going to stand behind and say for our own lives.
Some different denominations might focus on this more than others, but ultimately it's a question that everyone needs to answer.
Absolutely, it is. Peter is the spokesperson in this passage, but he's not the only one who's called to answer this question. This is a fundamental question of discipleship. And there's a point at which all of us have to answer that question, and we say to ourselves, "Who is Jesus to me?" You know, and the way in which we answer that question is going to tell us a lot about how or what kind of disciple we're going to be. You see, if we say Jesus is a miracle worker, then we're going to follow Jesus, especially when we need something from him or we want something from him, especially to fix a problem in our lives. If we say Jesus is a philosopher, then we may be very interested in his teaching. We might want to listen to what he has to say, to kind of think about it in terms of our own opinion. But if we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then that means that every part of our lives must now belong to him and be guided by him, that his values must form every one of our values, that it's no longer a matter of a question, do we agree with Jesus? It's rather, how can I conform my life to Jesus? And that means every part of my life, from Sunday morning to Friday night. There is not a single part of my life which is not called to be under the submission of Jesus as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So it's very important that we answer that question clearly and that we then allow our life to conform to that answer.
Quick little tangent, Bishop Muggenberg. We covered this last week as well, but here's another instance of Jesus warning them not to tell anyone about him. And here, you know, we think, our role as the church is to tell everyone around the world about him.
Yes, it is. If we are proclaiming the gospel with accuracy. The problem in this passage is that although Peter proclaimed Jesus to be the Christ, Peter didn't really understand who Jesus was as the Christ. Now, the reason I say that is because, first of all, the word Christ and Messiah are basically the same word. They mean the anointed one of God. And so there was a certain group in Jesus' time that really did expect the coming of the Messiah, and they expected that the Messiah would do some very specific things, especially some political and revolutionary things in terms of expelling the Romans, liberating the Jewish people. And so that's probably why he encouraged them to not say that to anyone, because they didn't understand it in its deepest and fullest meaning. See, Jesus is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. But he came not as an earthly Messiah to liberate us just in a political or military way. Jesus came to fulfill our deepest longings of our heart, to establish a lost communion with God the Father through the forgiveness of sins and through the salvation that he will accomplish on Calvary. That's what Peter didn't understand. And until Peter does fully understand who Jesus is as a suffering Messiah who will rise from the dead, then Peter and the other apostles should not be proclaiming a misperception of Jesus. And that's why he asks them to hold off on using that term to describe him until they fully understand what that term means.
Is this account in the Gospel of Mark, the first time, basically, that the disciples are getting the complete picture of what will happen?
So Jesus is going to foretell his suffering, his death, three times on his journey to Jerusalem. But the disciples will never quite grasp what that means for them. And that's why we see Peter trying to change Jesus's mind. You see, Peter indeed is following Jesus, but Peter is following Jesus because he has clear expectations of where Jesus is going to lead him. The problem is that when Jesus begins to talk about going to Jerusalem as a place of his suffering and death, Peter begins to say to himself, wait a minute, if that's where you're going and I'm following you there, then that may very well be what happens in my life. And Peter doesn't want that. And that's why Peter is trying to change Jesus's mind. He's trying to rebuke Jesus to say, God forbid that. And Jesus realizes that Peter will never be a true disciple as long as Peter is the one who's trying to lead the Lord. And that's why Jesus says to Peter a very instructive statement, and it's also instructive to us, when he says, get behind me, Satan. You see, Jesus is not telling Peter, go away from me. He's saying, Peter, if you're trying to lead me, then you're not being a disciple. The place of a disciple is as one who follows. If you're trying to lead me, Peter, then you will end up being on the wrong side of the ongoing battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of evil. You will actually end up trying to lead me astray, Peter. And that's what Satan does. And that's why he tells Peter, get behind me. Take on the position of a disciple as one who follows always and who follows everywhere where God leads. And be willing to follow the Lord. Don't try to lead the Lord.
Life is better with Christ, but not easy, as evidenced by the latter portion of our scripture reading, the Gospel for Sunday, learning about picking up our cross.
That's exactly right. Jesus cautions the disciples that following him is going to involve a substantial degree of suffering. And the cross was a very graphic, horrific instrument of capital punishment in the Roman world. The disciples knew exactly what the cross was. It was not insignificant. And if they were going to be faithful to him, then they had to be prepared to suffer the consequences of that fidelity, whatever those consequences might be. If they were more concerned about preserving their life or saving their life, then they would never be willing to accept or embrace the sacrifices that come as a necessary part of faith. And so Jesus wants the disciples to be aware of the fact, and he wants us to be aware of the fact, that following the Lord will involve sacrifice. But if we're committed to Jesus, then Jesus will not ask us to go anywhere or to endure anything that he himself has not already endured. And that gives us that experience of consolation. So it is out of that commitment to Jesus that we're willing to accept and to embrace any suffering that comes as a result of our discipleship.
Now, we could do a whole another segment, hour or three, on talking about what the cross is. But with a minute left, Bishop Muggenberg, looking at that cross, might it be the challenges that we have in trying to do the Lord's work? Or might it be just something that's persistently bugged us in our life, like Paul's thorn, to keep us from being too high and mighty in our own power?
Well, and that's a very good question. Once again, I think we need to be careful to not trivialize the cross in any way. And we need to remember that Jesus speaks about picking up the cross that is specifically a result of following him. And that's an important distinction, because the reality is that we all experience situations of human distress, human suffering in our lives. You don't have to be a Christian to experience human suffering and distress. And yet there is a distinctive kind of fidelity that Jesus does call us as Christians to embrace. And it is that that suffering that is the direct result of our decision of faith. So that's really the cross that he's talking about, rather than just a general situation of human suffering. Now, while it is true that we can offer up to the Lord in a salvific and redemptive way all human suffering, yes, we can do that. There is a very distinctive kind of salvation and redemption that we experience when we readily embrace suffering that is a direct result of our decision of faith. And that's what the Lord is really speaking about in this passage.
A great, great gospel. Encouragement to read that ahead of time before this weekend's Mass, Mark 8, 27 through 35. Thank you so much, Bishop Muggenberg, and if you'd be so kind as to wrap us up with your blessing today.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who calls us to follow him in all situations, always be with us and accompany us with his presence and love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Bishop Muggenberg, thank you. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle, looking ahead to Sunday's gospel reading.